I'm privileged to be able to share with you guys a few minutes this evening. I'm honored that y'all would hang out for this. By a show of hands, are there any perfect husbands here? Raise your hand. Just want to make sure so we usher you out. Any perfect Christians here? No stumbling, no challenges, anybody? All right, so we're all real. Amen? Now, some of you are here and you have faith, you're a churchgoer. Others, you may be invited here, and I'm glad you showed up. This won't be too painful. We'll talk a little bit about real life stuff. I'll encourage you guys on how I've seen God work in my life, and then we'll get on our way. Does that sound all right? Okay. I'm originally from Louisiana. I'm one of those Cajuns. If you think I have an accent, I do. But you know what? We're excited because we're basically taking over television shows right now. Hey, right? Cajuns finally coming. So we got the Pawn Stars. Let me adjust that. That's for a little bit later in the message. But I guess we got Swamp People. Anybody wants that? Swamp People? Shoot them in the head, Junior. Shoot them in the head. Killing alligators. I was raised on a bayou. As a kid, I would get in a P-Roll or a canoe. I go check the trout lines. I've, you know, been around killing alligators and all that. And just from that perspective, none of them are right in the head. My people, we're all crazy a bit. Work hard, play hard. And then I guess the best one is Duck Dynasty out there. How many of you watched the? Yeah. I think Uncle Si is going to get elected to some political position before long. He's killing it out there. But one thing I will tell you as far as church and religion, I had plenty growing up. I was born Catholic. Then we switched over to Baptist people, and then we hit the charismatic movement. And I was like, honestly, from what I saw, it didn't do much for me. Can I just be honest with y'all? Because sometimes religion kind of gets in the way of what God's really wanting to do in people's lives. And I worry sometimes about the organized institutions of churches, regardless of what denomination or not. And this would be my only soapbox, I think, for this moment, is, man, we got to be careful when churches start focusing on things and programs rather than people. Amen. You know why? Because look here. People are the only thing that has eternal value that's going to heaven. That's it. And that's what we have to be focused after. And that's why I'm here. And I love when men can get it. I was out there. I got to repent, man. I've coveted so many of those cars. I do have a nonprofit ministry, so if anybody feels led to donate one of them beauties out there, I promise it, I'll use it for God's glory. You have my word. except the motorhome. That's beautiful. I mean, that's amazing. I can't believe that. But we have a motorhome. That's how we travel around predominantly. We have a 40-foot motor coach. But we're not in it this time because we were over by Springfield, Missouri, and I started smelling something. And I took the next exit, and just so happened there was a big Camper's World. Y'all know what that is? It's like the Walmart of RVing or whatever. They got everything. I pulled up into that, and I got the manager, the service manager, the tech. I said, hey, I smell something that, it don't smell right. And they came out there. They opened up the actual electronics, the electrical panel. And the guy goes, hey, there's a spark. And then we all kind of looked, and he goes, oh, there's a flame. And we all looked again. He goes, hey, it's on fire, man. It's on fire. He lost his composure. He's like, that thing's on fire. So I walked around. I'm used to drama. I walk around, open the door, grabbed my little fire extinguisher and said, hey, family, you ought to get off the bus in an orderly fashion because it's on fire. And don't forget the dog. So they all got off, and it's stuck there. They're having to repair it. So I love that. But when I saw wood on fire, our luck, that thing would be toast before we hit Colorado. They're doing s'mores on it or something. But you guys, I joined the Marine Corps right out of high school. It was a pretty good option for me. I got in trouble with the law. I didn't have many options. And we thought that recruiter offering me the opportunity to extend my knowledge to the Marine Corps, help them out, would be the best deal for me. That's a good way of saying they took boneheads back then. Yeah, they still do. It's a little bit harder nowadays, but I actually joined the Marine Corps the day after the Beirut bombing, when so many of my brothers were killed in that terror attack. When they had rammed the vehicle into the barracks and killed so many Marines, I walked into the recruiter's office and said, hey, I'd like to go over there and kill me some people. That was my mentality, and that's why I said I'm very patriotic, and they took me in. And I learned a lot in the Corps. But one of the things that I struggled with, and one of the things I tell young men these days, is you better understand. All young men want to become men. It's in you. You know, you want to become a man, but be very careful. There's a difference between being hard and tough. Somebody say amen. And we miss it. I love visiting with juveniles. Part of our ministry, one of the main focuses we have in this country is to reach our most troubled and abused youth. That's a passion that we have. I was just up in Chicago at Cook County, a facility for some of the hardest juvenile offenders in our country. Every type of gang members, from MS-13 to Mexican Mafia to Blood to Crips, everybody. And I went in there kind of surprised, because they didn't bring big groups in. They just brought two small groups, separate of each other. And the person in charge said, hey, yeah, we heard about you. That's why we're bringing you in. But we're not bringing all the young men in here. We're only bringing you the hardest we have. So let's see what you do. And I smiled and said, well, we're like-minded, because I like the hardest ones. Bring them on in. And they were hard, and there were a lot of guards, a lot of big old, lot of former Marines in there. I could smell them. They're all back there. And they were looking at me like, hey, bro, these guys will bounce quick. So I said, all right, here we go. And I shared a little bit, one of the things about the difference between hard and tough. And because what men don't realize, and young men, this world says be hard. Don't let nobody mess with you. And if they mess with you, you get them back twice. Say amen. I'm just telling you what the world's right. But if you live in that type of lifestyle and mentality, guess what it affects? You can get revenge, but it will affect your heart eventually. And your heart's not meant to be hard. The Bible actually talks against that. The Bible actually says that God will replace your heart of stone, and he'll make it soft again. Now, you should be tough. I think every man should be tough. I think every young man should be challenged and you know, more than just this. Because, hey, unless you're challenged and put through some hard stuff, you'll get eat up in this world. This world is run by the devil. And that's another thing. I hope that we are preparing the next generation for tough end times. Somebody just told me, I spoke at a men's deal, and somebody just told me there's a Bible college with a lot of young men, and they're in this, there's a movement of, they talk to God and they call him daddy in prayer. Daddy, daddy, we just love you. Daddy, these are college age men. Daddy, we just love. And I understand Abba, Father. I understand. But I say, hey, wait a minute. At some point, you got to stop calling God Daddy like a little boy. And you got to call him Father and Almighty, right? Because what happens is your spinal cord starts to get jello-ish. Because it's guys like that. And when they're hit by the enemy's attack, they're going to go, Daddy, Daddy. And Daddy's going to go, you better stand up and fight, boy. Right? So we live in a culture that has feminized our young men, that even in the church it's invaded to where we ain't gotta push them, we ain't gotta challenge them. Yeah, we do. And the whole purpose is because of this battle that we're in. This battle that we're in. We're in war. We've been fighting terrorism for a number of years. But I'm telling y'all right now, the war that's going on spiritually, it is never ending until the final day when the Lord says, enough. And here's the deal. The war has been won, but we have to continue to fight the battles. Right? That's why I went to that Cook County for them juveniles. And they all standing there like this. They're looking at me like, well, you going to talk about white Wonder Bread? I mean, I get hate. It's like they were serving them haterade right before I got up there. And I'm like, well, here's the deal, man. I'm going to tell y'all how the cow eats a calf is the way I look at it. And I tell them and I challenge them. And you know what's crazy? It gets big enough for their heart. Because it's not just religious rhetoric, but it's real life. How do you want to live a life to where you're really having real success, having victory in your life. Not this warped mentality of everything's got to be just right, but purpose and value and meaning. Because every one of us has been placed on this earth for a reason. For a reason. I'm doing a small part right here. Just this right here. This is part of a small part God's called me to do. But every one of you have a part in this war. Every one of you have a God has made you. He's created you significantly different. Some of you are weird. And you know what? I just say, stay weird for the Lord. That's all. Don't try to be somebody you ain't, right? Just be you, the way God created you, uniquely, because the body of Christ needs you. But I sit up there and I said some things to them kids that shocked the dickens out of them. One of the things I told them, outside of the district, hard and tough, I said, I'm going to tell you guys something right now. Do you want to have a better life? Live a pure life sexually. It was quiet just like now. I didn't call y'all to monkhood. That's not what I'm talking about. What I said is, look here. I think y'all should wait to have sex until you're married. And then have lots of sex. Go right ahead. Amen. Don't worry, that's what my wife's talking about in there, to the wives. Come on, wives, love your man. Love your man. Is that okay with y'all? Okay. But what type of reaction do you think I get from young men when I tell them, don't have no more sex till you're married? Stop right now. Because you know what I said? I got zero respect for players. Man, I got a carumph out of that. I said, calm down. I said, let me tell you why. Players are just consumers. They hit it, they move on. They hit it, they move on. Oh, they got a kid, whatever. They hit it, they move on. They just consume it. They are never giving back. They're about using, not producing. Not being part of. It's outside of God's plan. And you can say what you want. Player, the Bible calls it wickedness. It's actually wickedness. It's one of the big Ten Commandments. You do not commit adultery and you don't fornicate. And look, I'm telling y'all here, I stand before you, a broken sinner saved by God's grace. I've broken every Ten Commandment. Broken them plenty. And So I'm not standing up here talking to you. It's just one beggar telling another where to get the food. Do y'all hear me? That's it. Please hear my heart on that. But I will tell you, just like I told them, life will be better if you really follow God's plan and design in that area of sexuality. Life will be better. I never forget, I was in L.A. County. Largest juvenile system in the world. They process 33,000 juvenile cases a year, one county. I think we beat Albuquerque. I never forget when I said that. One kid, he was tatted out. Yo, man, that's crazy. He said, player got to share his love. Everybody's laughing. I said, I hear you, man, I hear you. I bet you sharing all kind of things. If sex is so great in high school, why does one in four girls have an STD? It's the truth. If sex is so great, man, make a post of it while you're sitting in the doctor's office, burning up. When I was in the Marine Corps, and we'd go to other countries, man, we were relentless on some guy that got gonorrhea from a quick stay. You think we were nice to him? Heck no, not in the Corps. Like, did that thing fall off yet, man? But I said, buddy, let me just tell you how things would be different in our world if everybody just obeyed that one thing. If everybody just obeyed honoring God in the one area of sexuality. He's like, man, that sounds too confining. I said, I know it does to the natural man, but the spiritual aspect, let me tell you what would be different. He goes, what? I said, you'd have a dad at home. Amen. That's not just talk. That's real. He looked at me and got quiet. I said, I heard for you because I guarantee you the majority of you don't have a dad at home because of that. I said, he would have married your mom and loved her and been faithful to her and then raised you and been an example to you as a man. I said, look at all of you in here. How do you transition from boy to man? I remember, because my father, when my mom got pregnant, my dad, you know what he said? That ain't mine. Didn't claim me as his kid. I never seen him for years. My mother, well, my dad, he did drugs. He was a dealer and he was a pimp. Zero respect. Using women. And he was miserable. Get that. Miserable. Because sin will promise all kind of stuff, but the payday is hell. Here on earth and in eternity. And that's a sad reality. My mother would go on to marry six times. That's men coming in and out of my house. Some of them want to play daddy to me. I'm like, you ain't the first. You ain't going to be the last. Move on. I'll never forget one dad. I was a teenager, and this dad, I'd messed up at school, and he come home to whoop me. And, you know, belt wasn't enough, so he's going to make a wooden paddle. I seen him out there. He's carving it out of a 2x4. Now, granted, I need to be disciplined, but I wasn't going to be beat again. Y'all hear me? And he come in there, and I stood up against him. It was my day to become a man. I was like, no, you don't. I said, not this time. He looked at me and said, really? He talked real slow. Really? I said, yeah. I said, I'm done, man. Just because you live in our house don't mean you my dad. I never call you dad. He said, come here. And I'll never forget, he walked me to the back of the trailer house. We lived in a trailer. It was a double wide. We felt wealthy. Yeah, amen. And he said, boy, if you ever get in my face again, so help me, I will take you outside and I will beat you like a man. Look, I had so much anger at me at that point in my life because of injustice that had happened to me. I looked at him and I said, I don't care. I knew I couldn't whoop him, but I knew I was going to hit him at least one time. Right? Even if I had to false crack him walking down the steps. Oh, look at that bird. Pow. Is that just me or is that anybody else like that? Fair fight. What? You want to hurt me? No. And I never forget, he saw I had them crazy eyes. He said, all right, I guess it's time. I said, time for what? He says, time for you to come learn something about me. He walked me in the bedroom. He reached underneath the bed, put a briefcase down, opened it, and laid out newspaper clippings. He said, read this before you ever get in my face again. I started looking at these newspaper clippings, and it's a guy, ponytail, lived in New Mexico, was a biker, went to a bar, got in a fight. Y'all got bars out here, don't y'all? Y'all got some ruffians out here, don't y'all? He got in a fight, pulled out a pistol, shot two people, killed one of them. Got sentenced to prison in Chino. And I looked, and it was him. I looked at him, I said, that's you? He said, yep. I said, you a biker? He said, yep. I said, you killed that man in a fight? Shot him dead? Yeah. I said, you got sentenced to Chino prison? He said, yeah. I said, well, let me tell you something. You think I'm going to go mow the lawn right now. Hey, it's good to run away, live to fight another day. All of a sudden, I remember telling my mom, I said, Mom, you know you married a killer? And she was like, yeah, of course I do. I said, well, when were you going to tell us? She said, I guess when you needed to know. She said, I guess you needed to know. Yeah, I guess I did. Let me get a drink of my agua while this helo peels off. Those of you who served, that always opens that adrenal gland a little bit, right? Boom, 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 boom. I just was over in Hawaii. I had the privilege to speak to 25th Division Striker Brigade. A lot of combat, and they were worn out. And I was speaking to them in a theater. And then the general's a buddy of mine. And I said, hey, you got 2 stars on that collar. You think you can give me some insertion extraction training? He goes, Vic, yeah. I said, you think you can give me a helo? He said, yeah. What do you want? He said, you want a Black Hawk? I said, yeah. And I got to train for a day, a brand new U-860M Black Hawk and handpicked crew, a lot of combat. And I tell you what, them doors open, you swinging, boom. I can almost spit on them trees or touch them. And I thought I was too old for it. I just kept smiling. I was smiling a lot. Felt good. Where was I? Let me come back from that kilo. I had a good day. So to see that with my stepfather, to tell my mom and think, man, this is crazy, Mom. We were caught in a lifestyle, a cycle of craziness. And you know what? Wherever you're born, whoever you're born under, whether you got good family, crazy family, where do you go to church, school, what you read, that develops your worldview of who God is and what you think is right and wrong. And I found this, one of the ways to combat the craziness of my life is to look at one source of what's right and wrong, what's good and bad, and that's the Holy Bible. It's the Holy Bible. So just like I told that kid, your dad would be home. The next thing I said, if everybody obeyed that, I said, you know, there wouldn't be STDs. And then I said, your sister would have never been raped. And you wouldn't have had to feel the pain of hearing your parents fight or your mom fighting because someone cheated. They would have obeyed the one thing, to marry, to stay married, to love each other, to be faithful. It would have made the life different. And then when I told them gay kids, I go a little bit raw with them. I said, you wouldn't have had to hear your mama bringing in a dude at 2 a.m. from the club in the back room. And you got to lay in your bed and cover your head because you hear what they're doing. And all you want to do inside is go in the kitchen and grab a knife and stab him in his neck. I have seen our country's hardest gang members who are juveniles look at me with hot tears flowing down their face because that's the pain they live. It's not right. It's not fair. That's not what God designed for marriage, for family. And young men hurt because of it. And young men get on a path of destruction because their heart starts to get hard. And I said, if everybody obeyed that, then a 5-year-old kid would have never been molested and locked for dead in a commercial cooler left there in 1970. That kid was me. I know about injustice. I know about terror. I know about evil at the greatest depths. And I'm sad to be able to stand up and tell y'all that I've been abused, that I've been left for dead. I was dunked in a tub till I passed out. And the man that revived me looked at me and said, boy, don't you ever forget I'm the one that gives you life. I know what it's like to be electrocuted as a kid, to have my brain split and dissociate and be affected the rest of my life through tics or triggers because of the effects of trauma. I know what it's like to be driven to want to fight so bad, so hard, and then transfer my anger, not always on the right person either. Somebody say amen. Amen. Well, you get all that anger. And that's what I tell young men too. Anger does not go away. Injustice, anger, it sets in your soul. And the best you can do is quarantine it or vault it, but it won't go away. No matter what you do, no matter how much you drink, no matter how many needles you put in, no matter how much stuff you snort, no matter how many people you beat, senseless, right? And I got a family like that. I'll never forget my brother got payayed with a bottle. He was at a club. Payay just means you false crack. What y'all call it out here? Cheap shot? Yeah, he goes, we can't say the right word. But y'all know what I'm talking about. So he caught one. He caught a bottle over his head. He crumpled at a table, and he quickly got up, and the fight pursued out into the parking lot. And my brother pinned this guy down in between two cars, ka-dunk, ka-dunk, ka-dunk. And the guy's begging for mercy now, of course. He had that liquid courage in him, right? No sense at all. And the guy would say, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Man, you were the wrong person. You're the wrong dude. I hit the wrong guy. My brother's like, hell yeah, you hit the wrong guy. You're smart now. And he looked at me and just said, my brother said, I don't know who you are or what your deal is, but I'm going to let you up, but we're done. And the guy was like, man, thank you, man. So my brother got up. He's walking away, and people, you know, people out on the curb. It was before cell phone days. It would have been YouTube video. But he starts walking on, so everybody screams. He turns around. This dude had got up, pulled a knife out, and come across his chest with a knife. And my brother, just enough bent. It hooked his shirt. And when the guy come back for a second swing, my brother instinctively grabbed his wrist and broke his elbow. Just boom. And he's already in the red zone. It's death, right? Death. And he knew he had extended mercy to this guy, and he hit him, boom, boom, bam, knocked him out, drug him to a curb, and put his knee on a curb and broke his knee. And then went for another one. And if it wasn't for our older brother screaming at him, couldn't get him, he had to tackle him on the concrete, gung, 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 and then get away from our brother because he was still crazy. and say, he's dead, he's dead, the police are coming, he's dead. And the guy wasn't dead, but his feelings were hurt. Don't play with knives. That's the moral of the story. Don't play with knives. But we came out of a crazy background like that. People say, well, man, if your parents were messed up, what about your grandparents? One of my grandfathers died in a mental hospital. It was the same mental hospital my other grandfather, my biological dad had to go to. I just thought we had a timeshare there. Anybody relate? Or am I just up here pretending? You know how it is. Like, you're like, man, it's in our genes. It's in our blood. But here's what's amazing. It doesn't matter whether that's your background or whether you have all that anger stored up in you. There is one person who can change it all. The man that was unbeatable. The man that was unkillable. His name is Jesus Christ. His name is Jesus Christ. It's just supernatural, y'all. It is supernatural. And I don't know, so many Christians are afraid to talk about the supernatural, especially the demonic, devilish stuff. You mention demon in church, people are like this. Hey, why you got to bring up the devil? I said, because he's out there. He's actually our enemy, and we should know about him and his tactics. And I can tell you right now, warfare is real. That's why the question is, do you know how to fight? And I ain't just talking physically. I mean, that's easy. You want to know how to fight? And you're like, oh, I'm too old. I don't. Just buy a taser. All right, just. Oh, look, it works. Okay. I'm talking about the fight that you can't win apart from the power of God Almighty. And it's a spiritual battle that rages on. It rages against some of you to keep you from coming here, yeah? It rages against you when you want to go to church. It rages in your marriage. It raged against me last night. Today, I normally gauge to how effective a message or meeting is going to be by the warfare I go on. And by what I've been going through with my wife, some of you better get saved. That's all I got to say. Some of you better repent tonight. I need some fruit from all the craziness that we've been through. But I'm telling y'all that Jesus came. He won the war on the cross. He upset all the darkness and demons. And you know what? But the battle still rages. You have to fight against your flesh. You have to know how to die to yourself. You must know how to take every thought captive. Because Satan is nothing but a bully. Anybody ever dealt with bullies growing up? Anybody a bully growing up? And some of you, you better, I knew you were. I said, knee break. You're like, yeah, break the other knee, man. Take his jaw. Listen to me. Hey, a little rabbit trail. Squirrel. But I got to tell y'all this. I just saw one of the most amazing spiritual things I've ever seen in my life. How many of you know that guy with no arms and legs? Nick Vujicic, right? He got that foreign name. Nick's a buddy of mine, all right? We're pals. And we just did outreach over in Hawaii where we went and hit a bunch of schools because I used to live in Hawaii. I raised my kids there. And we went to some of the hardest schools on the island. I mean, you know your schools over here where you're like, ew. Tough stuff, baby. And we went in there, and I did my martial arts stuff. I'm going to do a couple of things for y'all when I am. And then he shared. He said something I've never heard anybody say. In the power of God, when the power of God comes, even in a public school, you just might as well give up because conviction happens, right? Nick says this. I do all my stuff, and then Nick says, if you're a bully, and three or more people have told you you're a bully, you're a bully. And he said it's enough. Because 12.9% of all the Hawaii kids attempt suicide, so much of it is based on bullying. It is the number one problem in our country when kids, prick on kids. And he said, how many of you would be friends with me? Or everybody's like this. He said, why? I ain't got no arms and legs. Look at me. He said, you know, people used to consider me a freak. I got picked on in school. He said, so much he tried to kill himself at 10 years old. Everybody's like, oh, I'll be your friend. He said, then why won't you be friends with my brothers and sisters here? They're God's humanity regardless. And then he said this, and this blew me away. He said, it's time to stop bullying in this school. He said, if you're a bully and you want to turn from that lifestyle and you want to tell everybody you're sorry, he goes, I want you to stand to your feet. What bully going to stand on her feet in a public school, in a hard school? I was like this. I told my wife, oh, he done gone crazy. This is going to be short. Oh, no, this ain't. 60 kids stood to their feet that day in that auditorium. 60 kids. I never forget one of the first guys. There was a long pause after that question, after that ask. And one kid stood up. And when he stood up, I mean, he reeked bully, right? He stood up. And I never forget all his posse around him. They're looking at him like, what are you doing, man? What are you? They're talking to him. He's like. And I walked across the gym. And I reached up and grabbed his hand. I said, that's what real men do. You took responsibility. I said, you're going to make it. And that's one of the signs of manhood. Take responsibility for your own actions. Be willing to admit when you're wrong. Be willing to admit when you're failing in areas of spiritualness that you need a greater power. One of the greatest challenges, and I'm going to close here pretty quick. One of the greatest challenges in our culture, and it's about sexuality, but even in the church, is men who struggle with porn. That's when it gets real quiet, just like now. Hey, how many of you know that is a very effective tactic of the wicked one? Raise your hand. Let's not play games. Come on. Come on. Okay, it is his tactic. Just like if the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, was infiltrating our culture, you would want to know where they are, what they're doing, right? You guys, porn is a tool of the enemy, and the enemy is real. And I wish some of you, if you've never experienced looking in the face of someone who's demonized, presenting a demon that has taken a lot control, I'm not saying own them, I'm not saying, but control, it will increase your faith exponentially, if any of you have experienced it. I remember I was in a youth prison when a girl manifested a demon. Youth prison, state of Texas. A little old girl. All of a sudden, this demon started coming up. And I was like, what the heck is that? All of a sudden, all the kids, all the chicas moved over in the corner. All the hard girls, they like, oh, it's here again. And I'm standing there, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that doesn't look right at all. I look over at the guards. I said, hey, guards, you ought to help her. You know what they said? You help her. I said, it's your job. They go, uh-uh. They say, that's something. When it comes on her, it ain't normal. I'm like, they're like, ain't you a preacher? I'm like, I'm a lay person. I'm just a Christian. I don't even think I'm ordained. Because it's only ordained people that can deal with demonized people, right? I mean, that's why you call the pastors of the church. Shoot. Say that in combat. Oh, it's only our lieutenants that can fire the weapons. We all have them. We know how to lock and load, but captain's got to fire the rounds. We'll just stand behind them and ooh and ah. Seriously? We're going to wait for Delta to fly in tonight and do a little snatch. We're just all going to play cards. We're not going to do intel or suppressify. We're just going to hang out. You guys, come on. Every one of you Christians, the Bible says, the same power that raised Christ from the dead actually dwells in you. And I tell you what, demons should tremble when you walk around. Demon should go, oh shoot, he walking in the room. Because it's not you, it's the power of God in you. But so many of us are so buffaloed, you know, we think, oh, it's yeah. You can do so much more than you're able if you really believe, you know, believe it, all that truth about the Bible and Holy Spirit and all that. You can be very powerful. I never forget that girl. She, you know, I was like, they brought her over there, and I'm like, okay. There was nobody else. It was just me. It was real. It was go time. Go, 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 go. Hit it. I was like, oh, gosh, I don't know. What do you do? I never went through a course on this. I never read a book. So I said, what would Jesus do? I'm like, hey, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I command you to tell me your name. And this demon spoke out, I am Satan. And I was like, is that like a capital S or a small S? That, I mean, I was looking for a private or something. Well, we got to go to commander in chief here. This is, are you the real, I think the funniest things in situations, I really do. God's made me cracked in that area where I just think funny thoughts. Just like when somebody's trying to intimidate me with a fight, I'm like, is this where I get afraid? I don't know. Have you been locked in a cooler for dead? I have. And I did think, this thought did cross my mind. All right, well, whatever demon you are, I got to get some pigs. Come on. Come on. Jesus said, swine. I'm thinking I need some pigs. I'm going to need a lot of them. There's a legion. I was thinking, well, we in a youth prison. They ain't got no pigs. Hey, I was willing to take sausage or bacon from the kitchen if I could get some type of pork. But the good story is that girl did get delivered. She got set free. It's been years and years. Her name is Christy with a K. She still has my cell number. She's my spiritual daughter, and she still calls me every now and then. She's in her 20s. God is able to do far beyond anything you could ever think or ask if you allow him in your life. All right. Well, let me close with this about porn. I, like most people, have had my struggles, you know, and if you don't trust and abide in Christ, you're going to get wiped out, right? And I can stand here before you and tell you, not a one of you has to be addicted to that. Not a one of you even has to click on it. Not a one of you even needs to have some old magazine underneath a log in the woods. That's how we saw it when we were kids. Old, old, dirty book, half torn, worn out, right? Those images. Guys, I know people in the porn industry. If you look at a porn scene, all that type of stuff, if you were instantly transported in it right in the middle of your fantasy, you'd freak out. You would be like, ah! It's not even real. It's the whole purpose is to gain money. Do you understand? And it's wickedness. And I'm here to encourage y'all to say no one has to be addicted to that at all. But I will tell you this. God can use you more than a conqueror. You can be more than a conqueror in that area. Don't settle for, look, my family and I, we walked into a public library one day, my little kids. And we walked in and I looked. And there were a row of computers, you know, public computers. And there was a guy sitting on the computer looking at porn. Right there. And I walked by and I went, what the heck? And I told my wife, I said, that dude is looking at porn right now. She said, honey. I said, hang on. Go over there in the corner. I'll be right back. And she always says, honey. I go, I got the spirit, not my flesh. Got the spirit, honey. Mostly. Kinda. And I walk over to him, and I tap him on his back. I said, hey, man, seriously, right here, porn? I said, get out of here. I said, at least do it at home. Give me a break. You know what he said? He turned around, looked at me, he said, leave me alone. It's a public place. I can do what I want. I am not a fast talker. I don't have quick comebacks. I'm not snappy. I've been pretty slow all my life, but I'm consistently slow, so I like that. And I walked away from him a few steps. I'm like, he's a public place, and he's gone. Well, I said, well, let me try it again. I said, hey, man, seriously, get out of here. This is crazy. There are kids, there are women and children. My wife and kids are in here. Get out of here. He looked at me again with that evil audacity and said, leave me alone. I can do what I want. It's a public place. Again, I didn't have a snappy comeback, so I kind of walked away. I look over at my wife. My wife's going, don't hit this dude. Don't make him go to sleep, honey. Don't. God's way. And I said, and then I felt like I had a God-inspired idea. So I stepped back. I stepped back about this far. Hey, everybody. Can I have your attention? It's a public place, and I'd like to make a public announcement. That dude right there is looking at porn, and he's a pervert. Right there. Look. He shut everything down, grabbed his little backpack, ducked his head, and he ran out. And I was like, yeah, you better get out of here, sucker. My wife will break your face. Everybody in the library started applauding. You know why? Because all these women and children in there, they look for a man to lead and to stand and to fight the battle for good and evil. They need that in us. And you guys, if the enemy has got you hooked, you will not be able to have the power to do what's right in the time of need. I say this and I mean it. No purity in your life, no power. It's just like training, skills. I don't care, shooting, tactical, whatever it is, martial arts, those are all diminishable. Say amen. When we get older, we're like, oh man, just a couple rounds. Get out there. And I have guys come and train them once. You have somebody like Frank Shamrock come in. Hey, Vic, let's work out. Sure. Poof, poof, poof. That's good, man. Good. Keep training, Frank. You're going to be good. My kidney's screaming. You guys, spiritually, you got to train. We have to stay in the Word. We have to pray. We have to be filled up with God's Spirit. And we got to every day put on our armor and be ready to fight the good fight. The fight that matters for our family, for our children, and for the lost of this world. Amen? Amen? All right. Well, I'll do one little martial art technique for y'all. Tomorrow I'm doing a session on PTSD, and any of you want to come out, you sure can. And I'll explain some swords that I have, because some of you, I think, like swords. Yeah. Yeah, this is my latest one. That's a good one. Oh, sorry about that. Yeah, this is authentic. But let me show you a little gun technique. I need a teenager since I work with you all the time. Come on, give me one of you teenagers over there. It don't matter. Come on. All right. All right, what's your name?
Josh.
Josh, nice to meet you. Okay, let's stand right here. All right, when I go in these facilities or schools, I'll do it. Can everybody see all right? All right, Josh, what I want you to do is stand right here. You're going to hold this pistol, and I want you to point it at my head like you're mugging me. That's what I tell kids in jail, and it's kind of funny. It's hard. It's hard. I know everybody can't see. I don't. Yeah. I told a kid one time, it was in Colorado, said, hey, man, you know, just pretend you're mugging me. And I'm talking. He hits me with the barrel. And he starts going, I said, dude, what are you doing? He was so embarrassed. He said, I'm sorry, man. It's just natural response. And he literally was in jail for a pistol. But he shot and killed somebody. So when I put that pistol in his hand, talk about natural. I'm so excited to see. After I finished that message and gave him an opportunity, all those kids, he was one that raised his hand to give his life to Christ, to be forgiven, even for murder. In Cook County in Chicago, all those hard kids, the hardest ones, 68 of them gave their life to Christ that day. 68. And it's real. You're not going to get an MS-13 and a blood stand up and say, I want Jesus right next to each other. Ain't going to happen apart from the power of God. You know what even surprised me more? 5 of the officers, the guards there, received Christ. They stood up too. I want that, man. Because it's truth. It's truth. It's eternal. So I tell them, put that gun in my head. Oh, he's got the hammer back. Okay, he's ready. So I do this little thing where when you see me move, you pull the trigger, okay? All right, I'll do my little karate. I got to stretch for a minute. All right, that's it. When you see me move, you pull the trigger. Okay. All right, that wouldn't work. Let's pull it back again. Let me try this. Gaming is done to our kids. All right, so when you see me, we'll say things. Wait for the click. All right, let's give Josh a big hand. Thank you, buddy. All right. You guys, I currently hold the world record for the fastest gun in arm, disarm. That's it. It's timed at 0.8 seconds. You can watch it on YouTube. I'm probably going to do it again tomorrow morning, and I'll show you the swords and the lesson behind that. But I'd like to close right now. I'd like to close right now and just pray for anybody who needs prayer, whether you're a believer, whether you're a non-believer. I believe in prayer. I believe prayer is not only a powerful weapon, it changes lives. And I'm proof of that. And you know what? Like I told those kids about purity, the flip side of it, I did it God's way when I came to faith. Now, I messed up plenty, but when I came to faith and I met my wife, we both decided we were going to wait till we're married. And we waited. And it was hard. But it's the right thing to do. We're not dogs. We're not animals. Especially with the power of God in you. We waited, and I'm the first person in 3 generations of my family to have married, not cheated, not been divorced, and stayed married. I'm the first person. We just celebrated 25 years, and we got 5 children, 3 adults and 2 little ones. And it is a great life. Well, I'm going to close in prayer, but I will tell you, if you want more information or you'd like to know more about my story, we actually have DVDs at my table and copies of my book. We're selling them tonight for only $100. Negative. We're crazy. The way we set up the ministry is freely we've received, so freely we give. You actually can take a DVD or a book for free. We don't charge for it. If you want to donate some to us, you can drop something in there that'll help us in our outreach and ministry. And we need it. I ain't going to lie. But God always provides. But we live by faith. Do you understand? So I ain't just talk. It's real. If you want to track with us, you can sign up on our email list. Don't come up and tell me, I'm going to pray for you, man. I'll be praying for you. I'm going to say, did you put your name on the email list? Because every week I send out real requests. There's people praying for y'all right now. See? So I encourage you to do that. If you still got issues with stealing, that's some people's challenge. Then run by the table and grab one and run through the parking lot. It's Kmart. It don't matter. Just go. If you want to be chased for a few cars, we'll do that to make you feel good. But at least watch it or read it, okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You are our dad, but we are men, and we call you Father. We thank you, God Almighty, for your love that you have for us, that you sought to reconcile us to yourself because of our wickedness, our evil ways, and you did it by offering your Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the price, to pay the penalty for the sin that we did, that Victor did. I put Jesus on the cross. And Lord, thank you that you've given us a way to come to you. Father, I pray for any man here right now that doesn't know you, Jesus. They truly don't know you. Maybe they've come to church for the first time, or maybe they've come several times, but they know in their heart they don't have a relationship with you. They still feel the burden of sin. They've never surrendered their life to you. I pray, God, if that's anyone here tonight, that you would touch them and save them by the power of your Spirit. If that is you, I want to pray for you. If that is you, lift your hand up real high so I can see who you are. God bless you. Who else? I'm looking. God bless you. It don't matter what you've done or where you're from, young or old. Is God speaking to your heart? Lift your hand up so I can see it. God bless you. Good. Anyone else? Okay, God bless you. Right there. Don't let pride stand in your way. That's where it got you in trouble. Man, respond to the love of God. Anybody else, you say, Victor, pray for me. I need to get right with God. God bless you, buddy. God bless you, buddy. Who else? On the sides, anybody? Is God not speaking to y'all? God bless you over there. Good. God bless you there and you. Okay, God bless you. I see you. Good. Anyone else over here? Man, trust God. You can trust him because he loves you. Trust him. And look at me. Everybody look at me. Some of you will not trust God because you have bitterness and anger in your heart towards someone. And it's keeping you from trusting God because you don't think God's really going to get judgment or revenge. He will. He will. Because everyone will stand before God. Everyone. You know what? Before I finish in that prayer, I'm going to show you something. Where's that case? What do we do with that case? The case. Thank you. I'm going to show y'all something. I don't always show people. But I'm going to show y'all that I felt like I was supposed to come. This right here, it's a piece of tile. Just to people. But the fellow who gave it to me is a longtime friend and a special operator. He's one of the best manhunters I know. I have the privilege to work with him and train with him, and he's a brother in Christ. And we watched my film, and he was snot crying. I was like, "What's wrong with you?" He said, "Man, I never told anybody how I was in so many foster care homes and beaten." And you know what? His heart was hard at first, but then he got tough, and he allowed God to use that sense of desire for justice to hunt bad terrorists around the world, people that would kill you and your children for doing nothing. And he said, "Victor, I want you to have this." And he went to his basement, he brought this up, put it on the table, he said, "I want you to have this." And I'm like, thanks. It's a tile. And he laughed. He said, "Yeah, but I took it out of Osama bin Laden's headquarters in Afghanistan after we bombed it." And you know what it always reminds me of? That if I ever go broke, I'm putting it on eBay. I told him that as a joke, and he laughed and said, "You'll never hear the drone hit your car." I said, "What?" What it reminds me of is that every one of us can trust God for ultimate judgment. Because no matter who's done you wrong, they may can hide out, but a day's coming of reckoning and judgment. And apart from Christ, no evil deed will ever go unpunished. Do you understand? Trust God with that. Trust God with that. If you're here tonight and you say, Victor, pray for me because I have unforgiveness towards somebody. It's starting making part of my heart hard. Or I'm not in the right place with the Lord. Would you pray for me? Let me pray for y'all right now. Raise your hand. Who are y'all? Just lift your hand up. Yeah, I'm not making y'all come forward. I just want you to lift your hand and say, that's me. That's me. Who are y'all? God bless all of you. Good. And more important, God sees your hands. That's what's important. He can deliver you from anything, anything. Any addiction, I know God can deliver you from. Any anger, He can deliver you from that. I ain't saying you won't struggle because our life is a battle, but the war's already been won. Father, in the name of Jesus, for every man that's raised their hand to receive you, Christ, to come back to you, to be forgiven, to repent, Lord, by the power of your Spirit, would you do the work? Would you wash them clean, white as snow? God, fill them with your Spirit so that their lives will impact, not just be conquerors, but more than, because it's supernatural, Lord. I pray that you would heal hurting hearts. I pray that you would mend relationships. And I pray these men would go home to their wives and love their wives, not selfishly, but dying to self, and meet their spouse's needs and their children's needs, even before their own. Lord, we thank you for salvation, for healing, and for repentance. And Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.